Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. The Gypsy King versus the Bronze Bomber. It was called a global phenomenon. The most anticipated heavyweight boxing match in decades. One of the most entertaining fights you will ever see. And yet, most of y'all have no idea what I'm referring to. Because you are more familiar with what happened before the fight. It was a clip that went viral all over the internet, and it still get likes and shares and views to this day. To this day. To this day. It really all happened from a layer of misunderstandings, but it was a powerful moment. In a press conference before the fight, Deontay Wilder, who is an African-American, made a comment that his people have been fighting for 400 years. Now, obviously, he was referring to the plight of African-Americans in his country. But he was speaking to an international audience, so they may not have understood where he was coming from. So there was a reporter there, who also was African-American, who did understand where he was coming from, and he wanted to give him the space, the opportunity to elaborate so he could share his heart with the people. But when he asked Deontay Wilder the question, he asked it in a way that offended Wilder. He told him, he said, "You said your people have been fighting for 400 years. Wilder misunderstood what he was doing, and he took offense because it seemed as though the reporter was questioning the validity of the sufferings as a fellow African American. And so he went off and he said, "It's your people too. Your people too. You know what I mean. You know what I'm talking about." He said, "Don't sit up here and try to bait. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say these things. Your people too." And if anybody don't understand, may God be with them. Go look up the history. You know what I'm talking about. Our people have been fighting for 400 years and still fighting to this day. To this day. To this day. The first time I seen it, I was moved to tears. I had chills all over my body because I felt the pain. I understood the suffering. You can hear the longing and the crying out for a day in which justice will be served. The day when all things would be put right. Yeah. Yeah. But in the meantime, we're called to fight the good fight of faith. Do not throw in the towel. Endure. Persevere all the way to the end, because one day the Lord will indeed come back And those who have fought the good fight will be vindicated. The Bible refers to this day as the day of the Lord. It is the day when the wicked will be destroyed and the righteous will be saved. Genesis 19, we come to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, which serves as an example of what is to come. On that day, justice will be served. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the day of the Lord. In this long passage, obviously we won't be able to cover every little thing, but there are two main sections, one longer than the other. I want to talk about the day of judgment and then the day of reckoning. The day of judgment and the day of reckoning. So we'll start with the day of judgment. And as it pertains to the day of judgment, there are four movements in the text. They're marked by periods of time. There is evening, early morning, broad daylight, and the next day. Look at the text with me. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Sitting at the gate means that by this time, Lot, Abraham's nephew, he's become some sort of judge or official or something in the city. So whenever you see the city gate in the scriptures, it's the place where the important people are, the people with power and influence. They sit at the city gate. That is to say that Lot has become fully ingrained in the culture of a wicked, wicked city. So as we look close, very closely, to these first few verses, I want you to see something that you might not see at first, but I want you to see the worldliness of Lot. The worldliness of Lot. But we got to go back for a second. Because in chapter 13, verse 10, helps us get caught up. It says there, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Pastor Recap preached chapter 13. And when he got to this part, he pointed out that Lot saw and then he chose. He saw and then he chose. And he said this. He said, whenever you choose something with your eyes, you will have to tolerate sin.
Wow, that's good.
Once you choose something based on what you see, rather than the promise of God, rather than yielding to God, once you choose something because of what you saw, you will then tolerate sin. And then just two verses. Verse 12, we see that Lot moved his tent as far as Sodom. In chapter 14, verse 12, it says that Lot was dwelling in Sodom. And now here in chapter 19, he is sitting in the gate of Sodom. First, it starts with what you see. You get enticed.
Wow, come on.
And then you tolerate sin.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you compromise some convictions concerning sin. Then the next thing you know, you are participating in the sin.
Right. Yeah.
And then you're participating so much that now you're sitting at the city gate. You are fully immersed in the wickedness.
Yeah.
Where are you sitting this morning? This is why we put emphasis on new site.
Yeah, yeah.
New service, a new status. The fight is to live in the newness of life rather than the old. The fight is the flesh versus the spirit. The fight is the natural versus the supernatural. The fight is the humanly versus the heavenly. This is what we want you to understand and be able to discern that which is worldly and that which is of God. Last week, Pastor Recap preached in chapter 18, and he pointed out the difference of hospitality versus what he called God-spitality. And he said this. He said, God-spitality begins not with action, but with attitude. It begins not with the action, but with the attitude of one's heart. And so here, I don't want you to get distracted by the actions of Lot in his text, because you can miss the attitude of his heart. Look closely with me. Because insincerity could be very subtle.
Yeah.
Two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, the them is referring to who? The angels. That's different than how it is written in chapter 18 with Abraham, when there were three men who were standing there and he saw them. I'm not suggesting that Lot recognized them as heavenly beings, but it does seem to suggest that he recognized them at least as important figures, messengers, which is what the word angel means. And so perhaps if he didn't think they were that important, maybe he wouldn't have even welcomed them in the first place. But that's not enough. The text goes on. It says he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, my lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way. Great action. He offers hospitality. But notice their response. They said, no, we will spend the night in the town square. In a society where hospitality is valued so greatly, mm-hmm. to refuse hospitality is just as bad, if not worse, than not offering it.
Wow.
So either the angels from God are ungrateful and unappreciative, or perhaps they're not fooled by the subtle insincerity. Maybe they're not fooled by the selfishness. Maybe they recognize it's more about him than it is about them. Verse 3, look at this. But he pressed them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread and they ate. He pressed them strongly. The word press is a word that means push or pushy. It means arrogance. It means stubbornness, a refusal to submit to authority. In 1 Samuel is the same word there, and God said that this word, that press, that arrogance is worse than idolatry. It's a refusal to submit to authority, a refusal to take no for an answer, especially when it's tied with the word strongly. That means he's saying it with his chest. We might say he insisted. Now, if you like me, when you hear insisted, really don't sound that bad, because we use that in a lighthearted way a lot. I insist. But really the word insist means to demand something forcefully, not accepting refusal. Church, to force or to manipulate goodness is not good.
Right.
It's not actually good. To force hospitality ain't really hospitality.
Right.
To manipulate things so you can look like you're doing something good, it's not good. What Lot is showing these men may be hospitality, but it sure ain't God's mentality.
That's good.
It's worldly. It's not of the spirit, it's of the flesh. Remember what Peter called himself correcting and protecting Jesus. What's wrong with doing that? Jesus said to him, your mind is set not on the things of God, but on the things of man. See the subtleness? Then what happened? What happened with Peter was when things got real, he got exposed.
Come on.
When things got real, he denied Jesus 3 times. But he was just tough. Don't be fooled by insincerity and selfishness. That is very subtle. You might fool everyone else, but please don't fool yourself.
Come on.
But that's the hard part, ain't it?
Right.
We fool ourselves into thinking that we are as sincere as we think we are.
Wow.
But it's only a matter of time before that which is subtle gets exposed as straight up sin. It's like the famous Mike Tyson quote when he said, everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Everybody's welcoming until wickedness show up at your door.
Wow. Right. Wow. Help us.
Text says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old and all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after them and said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have 2 daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please.
Wow.
Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You see, you think you're noble. You think you're hospitable. You think you care for people. You serve others. You provide. You protect. You do everything for others. Yeah, you're wonderful to others.
Wow. Come on.
You're the best to others. All at the expense of your own family. But the Bible says if anyone does not provide for his relatives, by the way, provide means pro before, vide meaning to consider or to think. You don't think first of your relatives, and especially the members of your household. That man has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Wow.
Yeah, you good to others. Wow. What about your own home?
That's good.
That's so good.
Lot, you brought this on yourself. Wow. You insisted when they said no. Now you got a dilemma. So what you gonna do? Are you gonna press strongly against them?
Wow. Come on.
Where all that energy at?
Come on. My God.
Wow.
No, he doesn't press strongly against them. Instead, he gets super polite.
Huh. Right.
In the original languages, you see it a lot more. But he gets real polite with these dudes. I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. What happened to the pressing strongly? What happened to all that force? What happened to saying it with your chest? Get away from my house. You're not messing with anybody in my house.
Right.
Where that's at? Instead of sacrificing himself for the whole household, he chose to compromise.
Wow.
He chose to negotiate with wickedness.
My God.
I got an idea. How about you take my daughters?
Wow.
My.
Wow.
Do to them as you please.
My Lord. God have mercy.
What was subtle insincerity Jesus is now exposed as straight up sin. Is this not what we see all around us, though?
Come on, Doc.
Throughout all of history,
Lord Jesus.
We men have been cowards, man.
Yeah.
We've been cowards, bro. Adam.
Yeah.
The woman you gave me, her. Take her.
Ooh, wow.
Jesus.
My God.
Jesus.
Genesis 6, the sons of God
saw
that the women, the daughters, were beautiful, and they took whichever they wanted. Where's the men?
Come on.
It's not like the world. It's not like the world have been taking our daughters.
Come on, Pastor.
We are literally offering our daughters to the abuse of the world. Most of the women that I grew up with, closest to me, most have been in one way or another sexually abused by men. Some literally by their fathers. I know that in a room like this, that's a reality. So let me say this. If there's any women who have suffered as a victim of abuse, first I want to say, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. if you are currently even suffering abuse and no one knows about it, please, 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 I want to encourage you to make that known to us. We won't dismiss it. We won't sweep it under the rug. We won't protect the man at your expense. We certainly won't shame you. Please make it known, I'm sure my wife, Miss Brittany, they would love to come around you, to serve you, to walk with you, to be there with you.
Yes.
The abuse of women will absolutely not be tolerated at New Creation Fellowship. Amen. I promise you that. Not cheating. Yeah, I mean all of it. No cheating. No physical abuse. No mental abuse. No verbal abuse. It's not going down here. Amen. You can go and leave because you're not going to stick around here acting like it's cool because it ain't. I literally don't care what other people say. I literally don't. It won't be tolerated here. It won't be bad. The punishment won't be bad enough if they don't say, I'm abusive to you. Mm-hmm. Unless they say that, then it ain't even good enough.
Wow.
I want to be accused of it. Because it won't be tolerated here. Locke is a picture of a carnal Christian. Worldly, hard-headed, stubborn, immature. He knows better. That's the thing. He knows better. He wants to do what's right. He wants to welcome God. He just wants to welcome the world too.
Right. Right.
That's the worldliness of Lot, which it will continue, but I want to move on to the wickedness of Sodom. They said, stand back. And they said, this fellow came to sojourn and he became the judge. Now we'll deal worse with you than with them. Then they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and drew near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, anyone you have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against his people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. It is because of the outcry. Chapter 18, verse 20. Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah was great. It's because of the outcry. Remember what God said to Cain about Abel, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.
Yeah.
In other words, God does not ignore the cries of injustice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He hears them and he does something about it.
Yeah.
That's good.
In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49 says this, says, now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor or needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Notice that this is describing the evil stored up in their heart. They are arrogant. They're greedy. And they don't care about the vulnerable. They are arrogant, greedy, and don't care about the vulnerable. Sounds like a place that I know. One of the ways you see the fruit of that evil stored up in their hearts was through the wickedness of their sexual immorality. You go back to chapter 5. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out that we may know them. Bring them out that we may have sex with them." Homosexuality is consenting adults of the same sex having a romantic relationship, let's say. That is sin. That is immorality. It is outside of the natural order. It is wickedness and sin and bad before the Lord. That's that. This is an attempt to rape men. This is not the same as that. This is an attempt to rape these men. Fact of the matter is, I also have family and friends who are men who were sexually abused by men. It's not the same as just homosexuality. That's rape. Just like I said for the women, if that is something that you have dealt with, please let us know. Make it known. Same offer. Sodom, the world, the flesh, the devil, does not care what gender you are. Abuse is abuse. Perversion is perversion. People have used this passage and irresponsible ways to say hurtful things for no reason. But as you can see, there's a lot more depth here. Mind you, this is not even mere men. It's angels. These are messengers of God. And so, yes, there's homosexuality, but there's also abuse, injustice, oppression, rape, inhospitality. And overall, what it really boils down to is the rejection of God. That's what's really going on here. Remember in chapter 18, God said, "I will go down to see and I will know." The wickedness of Sodom is their rejection of God. That's why they said the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now watch this. The angels asked Lot the question, but they also told him to do something. The question is, have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughter, anyone you have in the city? But then they tell him, bring them out of this place. That is a command. So what does Lot do? So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. That is, playing, joking. Literally, the word is Isaac, to laugh. The language suggests that the issue is with Lot's delivery rather than their reception.
Wow.
It's not just like they are so wicked that they just think everything is a game. No, it's actually more like he's so wicked, he think everything is a game. Besides, whatever happened to the pressing them strongly? Wow. Where did that go?
Right.
Why didn't he press them strongly? How urgent? How important? How serious do you take the coming of the Lord Jesus?
Wow. Come on.
How serious do you take the judgment of God? How serious do you take the gospel of Jesus Christ? How do you make it seem to your family and friends?
My God.
Does it seem like you just playing around with your religious stuff?
Wow.
Bro.
My God.
Does it seem like it ain't that serious?
Jesus.
Wow. How does it seem? Because the day is coming.
Yeah.
That was evening.
My Lord.
Jesus.
Now we move to early morning portion of the text. Verses 15 to 22 could be summed up in these three very simple words. Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy. But you got to do it like this. You got to put your fingers here. You got to kind of squeeze, but your pinky got to be out. You might got to put your hand on your hip. Lord, have mercy. That's what this is. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he lingered.
Wow. My God.
Teach the text.
Lord have mercy.
Wow.
He hesitated. He is distracted. Something else is more important.
I remember when, like, when we was growing up and we ready to go somewhere as kids, the whole family, whatever. We excited. We been looking forward to this. We literally about to go out the door. All of a sudden, my dad, like, want to clean the backyard. We out, bro. Like, let's go. I just had to get that off my chest. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him.
Wow.
And they brought him out and set him outside the city. Lord have mercy.
Remember, he's the one who wanted to see. He started it. He started to press in strongly. Now they press strongly.
Wow.
They seized him.
Wow. My God. Thank you, Jesus.
They snatched him. Not just him, everybody. They just snatching everybody. Lot, wife, daughter, other daughter. Everybody, get out. Mm-hmm. In Jude, it says this. Says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. I'm gonna be honest with you. I really don't know how to snatch people out of the fire, but I know who I want to snatch out of the fire.
Oof, Come on. Yeah.
I know you got some people in your life too. You got family, friends. Who you just begging. You like, Lord, have mercy. Snatch them out.
Yes.
Because he just,
Yeah.
The mercy of God was merciful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hesitated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was distracted.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had my own agendas.
Good.
Yeah.
When really, I knew better.
Right. Yeah.
Because I knew that my grandma was praying for me.
Mm. Right.
And I hated when she would call me out of nowhere and ask me, am I reading my Bible? No! Of course I'm not reading my Bible. Why would I do that? And then one day,
right,
the Lord in his mercy snatched me out of
fire.
Thank you, Jesus.
But that's not the end with Lot. Verse 17 says, and as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills. Lest you be swept away. And Lot said, just right there. That's enough.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Why are you talking? Why do you feel like you've got something to say? He gonna tell them, oh no, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight. You show me great, the word there is mercy. You show me great mercy in saving my life, but I can't escape to the hills like you told me to, lest disaster overtake me and I die. As if they don't know what they're doing. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it's a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved. And he said to him, behold, I grant you this favor also. Also, I will not overthrow the city in which you spoke. In other words, I was going to destroy that city. Because they need to be destroyed. But now, since you want to be over there, go ahead. I'm not going to destroy it. And I can just imagine the angels going back to God. And God say, so you destroyed all the cities I told you to, right? I mean, yeah, but like, just one we had to leave. Cause you're a man, bro. Lord have mercy. And God like, yeah, I do got mercy. I know who you're talking about. That's a lot. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing until you get there. Hurry up. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Zoar means the little one. Ain't you glad his mercies are new every morning?
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Every single morning.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
We went from evening early morning, and now we hitting the time when the sun is highest, broad daylight. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Mm. And he overthrew those cities and the valley and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground. Mm. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot got a lot of problems. But in the end, he was saved. As worldly as he was, it turns out that his wife was even more worldly than he, because she couldn't let it go.
Wow.
Apparently, Lot was willing to lose everything to gain salvation, but not her. Jesus Christ himself said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. Do not turn back. Are you willing to give up your life in Sodom for Christ, for salvation? Are you willing to give up the things of this world? What's worth holding on to? I grew up in a violent city. But some of the, you knew who was the most like notorious, the most intimidating gangsters. And these are the dudes who they work in broad daylight. They don't need to wait till nighttime. Broad daylight. Those are the ones you need to be scared of. So one day, I'm trying to say this without saying no names. We playing spades. We outside of my house. We got the chairs and the table. And it's a regular old day. Birds chirping. People doing, coming and going, and doing their thing. We chilling. Then all of a sudden you see this guy coming down the block. And we already know, when you see him coming, just pack everything up. Just go. But of course, he gets into it with one of the guys there. And he says these words, I'll be right back. When he said, I'll be right back, he means he'll be right back, and it's going down. So we packed everything up and we left. Everybody except one. Why? Because he loved the world. He loves his pride. I ain't leaving. I don't care what he say. I ain't going nowhere. He don't scare me. Okay. So, of course, he came back. And we heard, pop, 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 pop. So the next day, we wondering what actually happened. And then we see the guy who was so tough, he didn't want to leave. He's coming out of the hospital. He all bandaged up because he got shot twice. Praise God, he survived. You will not survive the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That day, you can't survive that. Don't be so arrogant and bold and can't nobody tell you what to do. You're so prideful. I don't really need Jesus. Like, is he cool? But I don't need him. Okay. When the next day rolled around, it says, Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land of the valley, and he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. You're not surviving that. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. God remembered Abraham. You remember Abraham's whole spill. What if it's 50 righteous? What if it's 40 righteous? What if it's all the way down to 10?
Well, yeah.
What's crazy to me? Abraham's intercession for Lot was on a basis of righteousness.
Mm. Wow. Ooh,
not relationship. It wasn't like, yo, what if my nephew is there? It was on the basis of righteousness. Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Tell the truth. Does Lot seem righteous to you? It was on the basis of righteousness. Peter, in 2 Peter, refers to Lot as righteous three times. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
Like back to back to back.
Yeah.
He says this. He rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed in the sensual conduct of the wicked. For as the righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormented in his righteous soul. Huh? Righteous Lot was a righteous man with a righteous soul. This is just me. It's just me. I could be wrong. I think Peter was exaggerating a little. I think he was a little tongue-in-cheek, because his whole point in that passage was that God is really, really good at saving. He knows how to judge the wicked and save the righteous at the same time. He's really good at it. He knows how to punish. He knows how to save. In other words, Lot was not saved on a basis of his righteousness, but on a basis of his relationship. Because God is faithful even when we are faithless.
And
he remembered Abraham.
Wow.
Doesn't say, yeah, he went, he found somebody righteous, and so he saved him. No, 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 no. It's on the basis of him remembering Abraham. The Abraham who himself don't deserve to be called righteous.
Wow.
But he has a righteousness that comes by faith.
Yeah.
Faith in the promised son.
Yeah.
The great son. The one who God sent to a city, not to destroy it, but to save it. But instead of welcoming him with sincere hospitality, they treated him as they treated the other prophets that God sent. And he became a victim of their arrogant abuse and injustice. Mm-hmm. That is to say, the wickedness of Jerusalem was that they rejected God.
Wow.
They rejected the righteous one. But instead of compromising, instead of negotiating with the wicked, he offered himself as a sacrifice for the whole household.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
As he cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
My God.
But you know, like I know, God does not ignore the cries of injustice.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
So though he was crucified and buried in a grave, early Sunday morning, he was raised with all power and authority in his hand, for he is the judge of the living and the dead. And in vindication, that same generation that rejected him, the city of Jerusalem, the one he said, oh, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. That Jerusalem would eventually be destroyed. Mm-hmm.
just as he said he would be. More than Sodom, more than Jerusalem, there is coming a bigger, badder day of the Lord that will apply not to just a city, but the whole world. Because he said, I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And when he say he'd be right back,
yeah,
he mean he be right back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when he get back, it's going down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which brings us to the day of reckoning. We're gonna fly over this just a little bit. Says, now Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to live in Zoar. Wait a minute. You the one begged to go there. We told you go to the hills. Then you said you wanted to go here because that was safe. Now you afraid? Lord, have mercy. So he's afraid. So they live in a cave with his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old. There is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine and we will lie with him. How did they know that would work? You can't make somebody drink. He must have been already a little. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's like what he do. So they know what he do, so we gonna do that. I don't know, that's just me. Come, let us make our father drink, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father. So they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He didn't know when she lay down or when she arose. The next day, the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay last night with our father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you can go and lie down with him, that we may preserve offspring for our father. So they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their fathers. By their father, the firstborn, had a son, his name was Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ami. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day. You can choose your sin. You cannot choose the consequences.
Come on.
Or the outworkings or the effects. The same one who offered his daughters to be raped is now being raped by his daughters.
My God. Jesus.
The offspring, the Moabites and the Ammonites, turned out to be idolatrous enemies of the people of God and a source of suffering to this day. You cannot control what comes after.
Right.
It can haunt you. It does have effects.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christians have been fighting for 2,000 years. To this day. Suffering persecution for 2,000 years. To this day, suffering from the pains of the world all this time, to this day, also even suffering from our own past sins,
yeah,
to this day.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage you with what the Apostle Peter said. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens
will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy, godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we who have fought the good fight, we who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who believed in him, who did not reject him, but welcomed him, we are looking forward to new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells.
Yep.
Fight the good fight of faith.